Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky joins us. Mike, if you don't vote, you can't complain, can you?
That's exactly right, Greg, and that's precisely what I share with folks. I always ask them if they vote or not. Today is going to be a very interesting day for us to all watch, because this is the first cycle where our Secretary of State Benson has, sent out affirmative requests, or actually affirmative opportunities for people to request absentee ballots. And, it has, by all accounts, resulted in a record number of requests for such ballots. But there's still a large outstanding number that have not been turned in yet. And so one of the most important things to share with your listeners is if you've received an absentee ballot, but then have decided to go to the polls, you need to take your absentee ballot with you so that they can negate it so that you can vote. And if you don't take it with you, then you won't be able to vote. It's a confusing part of the process. And so I just want to make sure that your listeners understand that. And then meanwhile, because of the dramatic increase in the number of requested absentee ballots, there will be some polling locations that struggle to get through all the insertion of the absentee ballots and getting them counted within the time frame allowed today. And so we may have some areas across the state that are a little late reporting. I've already had a conversation this morning with Secretary Benson and wished her good luck. But we know that we'll probably identify some obstacles because of the increase in absentee ballots and make some election law changes between now and November.
And that's probably fair first time around.
I think so. I mean, there were some bills that were submitted to make some changes even before this election, but we couldn't reach consensus on even within our own caucus, let alone the chambers. And so that was a decision made that we're not denying in any way that there may be some obstacles and some constraints that need to be addressed. But let's do it based on real experience and non-speculation. And so I'm going to be watching very carefully how today rolls out, and then we'll make adjustments between now and November so that we have high integrity, smooth elections.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
What do you think about mail-in voting?
Well, I don't like mail-in voting. I have no problem with affirmatively requested absentee ballots, but I don't like mail-in voting at all. I think it's too ripe for fraud. The most important thing for us to maintain our current culture and society is to have the highest of integrity of elections. And so I think mail-in voting would be problematic to go into that direction, but I have no problem with the proper use of absentee ballots.
Well, I think a lot of people have a problem or trouble distinguishing between mail-in voting and absentee balloting.
I think you're correct, and for that point, when these topics come up, and maybe in a future interview between you and I, we can get into the details of the differences of the two.
Mm-hmm.
and explain it. But today, I just want to encourage everybody that this is continues to be one of the highest privileges and rights that we have in this country, and that is to get out and vote. And I remind folks that even 4 years ago, there were hundreds of elections across the nation that were determined by less than 100 votes. And so every vote counts, even if you don't think so. You never know where there's going to be a close race, and those last one or two votes make the difference. And so if you've done your research and you cherish the privilege of voting like I do, then please, if you haven't already sent your absentee ballot in, please get out and vote.
Mike, Senator Barrett testing positive for COVID-19, probably good that the Senate is pretty much shut down right now, but I know you're locking it down even further.
So we established, per the guidelines, per the governor's guidelines, frankly, protocols for, it was inevitable that one of our members or one of our close working staff members is going to be infected. And so we have very strict protocols and procedures that were invoked since Senator Barrett tested positive. By the way, I don't know if you got this in the news release, but he was tested positive not because he was sick and not because he was demonstrating any symptoms, but he's an active member of the Michigan National Guard.
Right.
And now their requirements are that before you can come back and do any training, you have to be tested. So it was discovered that he was positive. He didn't know it. But out of following our protocols.
But that, Mike, that's even more important, isn't it? Because if you don't know it, you can, easily pass it.
That's exactly right, Greg, which is the reason why we need to continue to increase our ability to do quick-acting, quick-response testing.
Right.
I had my, I went on yesterday morning at 10, at 9 a.m. and had and got tested, and hopefully within the next day or so, we'll get the results back. I'm not expecting a positive outcome. I'll call a positive test.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's part of the process, and you're absolutely correct. It, that's one of the best avenues for us as a country to pursue, and that is to continue to increase our ability to facilitate quick response tests.
So we have a story tomorrow. I didn't have time to get it all put together this morning with all the election stuff, but contact tracing with Senator Barrett, and it is amazing. You know, this goes everywhere. He was in Detroit. He was with this senator. He was with this politician recently. I mean, it's amazing how quickly this goes.
And if for instance, just to build upon your story there, if for instance I would test positive, then that another branch of that contract tracing would be invoked, and then my family, for instance, that yeah. I've been in close contact with over the last few days would have to, you know. So this is a good. It's I don't like the fact that Senator Barrett got infected, but it's a good test for us to demonstrate that we have policies and protocols and procedures in place to react, because, you know, this is it's not a high mortality rate, but it is a highly infectious type of virus, and so we have to have these kinds of procedures in place and demonstrate that it's time we move from living in an perpetual emergency declaration to managing our lives with it. And I think this is going to be a good example of, and we'll probably learn some things that will improve our processes, and maybe that can be those experiences and those lessons learned can be shared with other organizations, maybe even schools, for instance.
Do you think, Mike, is it an eye-opener for some folks in Lansing?
No, I don't think so at all. I think, at least I'll speak for myself, it was expected. It was, to me, it was going to happen sooner or later, and it happened now, and so we're invoking our policies, and we'll see how it turns out. By the way, we were going to have session this week, and we chose not because we didn't have the information, but because we didn't think we'd have everybody that needed to be tested would have their test results
right.
back soon enough. Otherwise, so we'd just be postponed session until another time.
So we reported today on four pretty big school districts that are all starting virtual: Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Grand Ledge, and Hazlitt.
Yeah, there's a domino effect that once a school district in a given geographic area decides one way or the other whether they're going to have a hybrid or in class or all virtual distance learning, others adjacent areas kind of follow that lead. You know, I'm still very proud of some of our schools, most of our schools in Jackson County, that they're going to offer a menu for mm-hmm. for parents to. And I believe those that offer those options and execute well will actually benefit from it. And I think there'll be parents that whose schools are only offering, you know, distance virtual online will be looking at other options. And those schools that execute well, that provide a broader menu of choices, I think could be benefactors through the school of choice process.
What about sports, Mike? Do you see that or no?
Well, all we got to do is watch what's happening with Major League Baseball, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a bad example.
With all the good intentions, we're living in an environment now that we have to, recognize that this virus this insidious virus is not going to go away, and when it rears its ugly head, we have to react. So I seriously doubt that there's going to be a lot of. I mean, this is just one man's opinion, so don't take this any more than just one man's opinion. But I think, having a rigorous fall season of athletic events is probably not a high probability.
So have you voted yet, or are you voting by mail?
I voted my absentee, and I delivered both my wife's and I's ballots yesterday to the township office here in a great Liberty Township.
Okay.
So
just checking.
All set done. Yeah, you betcha. It'd be a terrible thing if I didn't vote, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably would.
Have you voted yet?
Not yet, but I will.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, you have a great day there, and looks like we're going to get a reprieve from the intense heat and sunshine for a day or so, which is probably welcome.
Yeah.
But we'll be back at it here soon.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Greg. You bet.
Bye-bye. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey.